Good morning, everyone. This is another beautiful fall day today. You know, we thank God for this beautiful day that we have today. I want to welcome back Reverend Tom Clifton. Tom had served as an interim pastor up at Glenshaw Presbyterian. I'm so used to saying Valley. The church on the hill. So we're great. We're very thankful to have Tom back. You'll see him a number of times. I want to mention a few things announcement-wise. So we're having a children's sermon by Paul on the 23rd. We're looking forward to that. Paul, is that going to be a good sermon?
That's next Sunday.
I know, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the 23rd, next Sunday.
There you go, next Sunday.
Yeah. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Deacons are having their deacons meeting next Sunday after church. We're doing a craft show and bake sale, and we need goods for that. That's going to be on Saturday, October 29th. The other announcement I want to make, I'd sent this out in the email. With Leonard gone and no interim pastor here, we have set something up for people, for members in need. So if there's a member in need or someone needs some help, we've designated Cher D'Amico as the person that people need to talk with, and Cheryl will handle the members in needs request, and that will remain anonymous with Cheryl. So we'll also put that in the Valley, just for people to know, until we get an interim pastor in place here to take over those duties. Yes, Carol? You can't hear me. Well, okay. Can you hear me now? Yeah, the Sprint guy. I know we always get the microphones and the PA system set up. I like to keep it that way, but sometimes it gets tweaked, and I know a couple Sundays ago we had some feedback, so we had tweaked things back. So let me say that one more time if people didn't get it. So for members in need, because we don't have a pastor in place here, we've designated Cher D'Amico as the person who's going to handle those requests, and that remains confidential, anonymous with Cheryl, and so that's the person you need to talk with. We put that information out in email. We'll also put that information out in the Valley. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tom to continue the service. Thank you, Tom.
Sing praises to the Lord, all you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let us sing joyfully as we rise and remembering God's faithfulness to us in this and in all generations. Let us worship God.
Let us join together in one voice our prayer of confession, and then let us, in silence and in our personal relationship with God, bring our own personal confession. Let us pray. Holy God, giver of blessings, we thank you for the mercies we know and ask for your forgiveness when we fail to acknowledge you as the source of all good. When we hoard your gifts, when we say, "That's mine," when we ignore the bounty around us, we are blind to the good. Forgive us. Help us to share, to see, to live gratefully. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Now hear this, friends. Believe in the good news of the gospel. For in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let us declare what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now may we extend God's love and greeting to one another.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We just have one prayer request, and this is for Kim Nyalka. This is Steve Hurst's sister, who unfortunately is in the hospital at Allegheny General Hospital. Their prayers for peace and comfort as she battles cancer.
Let us join our hearts together as we pray. Gracious God, we come to you in prayer this day, offering our lives to you once again, that you may engrave upon our hearts your great eternal love, and that you might place in our lives your hopes, your dreams, your vision of a life of love and service to the world upon us. We ask that our hearts today be reshaped so that they might be as one with yours. We also come today asking for your help. For we acknowledge and we are aware of our tendency to wander down the wrong paths. And so place us again on the path that you have prepared for us. Show us the way. Show us again the path. And O God, breathe the word of life into us again. Help us to be retooled for the great work of justice and hope and service for which we have been created and by your love and grace equipped. Help us to share good news and hope with everyone that comes across our path. Oh God, we pray for our loved ones who need your help and your healing this day. We pray for Kim as she battles her disease and pray that you will give her great strength, trust in you. And we pray that you will come this day to all who despair, to all who have been damaged by storms, floods, wars, or whatever human or natural catastrophes have hurt and maimed their lives, that everyone affected by these tragedies that we see and hear about may feel your presence in their lives and find strength and courage to build again. Oh God, cast down those who perpetuate violence and evil. Banish our weakness and fear, and give us all a spirit of courage. Guide us in the way of Jesus. We bring to you these and all of our prayers, spoken and felt, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We continue now in worship and praise as we join our hearts and lives in song. Now we bring our gifts of love and devotion to share with our Lord. Your guidance and your strength upon them and us as we do your work in this world of yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is Luke 18, 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' Said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God.
Before the sermon, I have another reading. You're aware of the famous "I Have a Dream" sermon speech by Martin Luther King. John Kennedy heard that saw that on the television in his office, and when King finished, he turned off the television set and said, "He's good." Oh, he was marvelous. And One other sermon speech he gave was associated with the March on Selma. Maybe some of you saw the movie Selma. And I have a brief excerpt from that speech as a second reading today. These are the words of King. Last Sunday, more than 8,000 of us started on a mighty walk from Selma, Alabama. We have walked through desolate valleys and across trying hills. We have walked on meandering highways and rested our bodies on rocky byways. Some of us, some of our faces are burned from the outpourings of the sweltering sun. Some have literally slept in the mud. We have been drenched by the rains. Our bodies are tired and our feet are somewhat sore. The battle is in our hands, and we can answer with creative nonviolence, the call to a higher ground to which the new directions of our struggle summons us. The road ahead is not altogether a smooth one. There are no broad highways that lead us easily and inevitably to quick solutions, but we must keep going. I know you are asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men, darken their understanding, and drive the bright-eyed wisdom from her sacred throne? Somebody's asking, when will wounded justice lying prostrate on the streets of Selma and Birmingham and communities all over the South be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men? Somebody's asking, when will the radiant star of hope be plunged against the nocturnal bosom of this lonely night, plucked from weary souls with chains of fear and the manacles of death? How long will justice be crucified and truth bear it? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment, however frustrating the hour, it will not be long. Because truth crushed to earth will rise again. How long? Not long. Because no lie can live forever. How long? Not long. Because you shall reap what you sow. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Let us pray. Oh God, be in our minds and hearts to hear and respond to your living word as it comes to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We had read and seen on the overhead the story this morning of the short little parable of Jesus, which goes by many titles. We can call it the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. 8 verses, short parable. If it were a melodrama, a vaudeville melodrama, it would look something like this. Onto the stage would come a judge. He would be dressed as the villains are always dressed in a melodrama, totally in black, with a white shirt, a black tie, a black hat, and a curling mustache. And as he made his way on the stage, if this is a vaudeville melodrama, the crowd, the audience, would know exactly what to do as soon as he entered the stage. And they would begin, boo, hiss. If they had a rotten tomato, maybe they would throw at the villain. And then following the villain would come the widow. And there would be great applause. Because now we have in front of us good and evil. The widow would not have a look of fear in her face, rather determination. She would be relatively plainly dressed. Now the judge in this story is described as a bad person. Jesus says of him that he had no fear of God and no respect for persons. When the Bible uses that word fear, it means honor, submission, praise, adoration. The word fear means to give God all that we have to give in terms of bowing the knee and showing that we honor God's great and marvelous love and power. The judge did not care at all about God. Jesus also describes him in this way. He had no respect for persons. Well, in the Bible it says that we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, mind, strength, will, and we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And the judge is not interested in either one, which leaves only one thing remaining. He was looking out for number one. And in his position as judge, he would be able to do that very well. He would be able to line his pockets with bribes and kickbacks. He's in a position to take care of number one. The widow, on the other hand, the other character in this story, is seen as someone who is vulnerable. That's what a widow was in biblical days. A widow was a vulnerable person. Unless she had a husband or sons or brothers-in-law, if she were without male help, and many were, then she was vulnerable, especially to a judge like the one that's given to us in this story. But she knows her Bible. And she knows that the Bible says in the law these words: cursed be anyone who deprives an alien, an orphan, or a widow of their justice. And so she knows that she's in the right. And this word from Deuteronomy about depriving aliens, orphans, and widows isn't just in one verse of the book of Deuteronomy. It's all through the law, and it's all through the writings, and it's all through the prophets. It's a major thread of God's word that comes to us through Scripture. And what it says to us here in so many places is this: God's people are to take care of each other. That's why we're given the covenant community. Our purpose, our call, and our task is to love God and to take care of each other. But especially the alien, the orphan, and the widow. For they are the vulnerable ones that you must make sure that nobody deprives them or abuses them or takes advantage of them. which is exactly what the judge had done. We don't know what the issue was, but we know that she was deprived, whether it was vineyards or houses or lands or whatever it was. She was low-hanging fruit to a powerful judge, a weak widow. All he had to do was just disregard her cause altogether, give it to somebody else, take the kickback. Low-hanging fruit. Well, how easy it is to take advantage of a woman like this. What she has going for her is that she knows her Bible, and she knows that this is not God's plan, call, and purpose. She can't go into the courtroom. Women would not be allowed there. So she does the only thing that's left available to her. She stalks the judge. And the judge comes out of his chambers, and he's headed for work, and he's going to his office, and here's the widow right behind him. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Are you listening to me? I said, give me justice. And on Sunday morning, the judge goes to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. And there's the widow. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Are you listening to me? Have you read your Bible? And on Sunday afternoon, he decides to play a round of golf, and he walks out of the house with his golf clubs. There's the widow. Right behind him. Give me justice. Give me justice. Give me justice. Are you listening to me? I don't know how many times she does that. Days? Weeks? But finally, the judge says to himself, I can't take this anymore. She's going to drive me crazy. What am I going to do? And so he gives her justice. Jesus, having told that story, then turns to the disciples and he says, this is a promise of God. And he uses how much more? You see this in the Bible every once in a while. How much more? And Jesus says, if a widow can make a bad man like this judge give justice, how much more will our loving God quickly come to help those who cry to him day and night? It's a promise. It's a promise of God that those who cry out to God day and night, God will hear and quickly bring goodness and blessing and love and grace and help. How long? Not long. God will act and act quickly, Jesus says. But, you know, I lost my note here. How much more? I got that. All right. We believe this because we pray it every time we come to church. We've prayed it already today. You've said it. Thy kingdom come. Where? Right here on earth. Right here. We pray it every Sunday. And And we don't lose heart. Jesus gives this parable, you see, so that the disciples and the followers would not lose heart. That's the problem. The problem is that we come into our difficulties and it looks so hard, it looks so difficult, the night looks so black that we lose heart. But Jesus says, don't lose heart. Don't give up. When you come to that intersection in the road, on one way we can go, it says, abandon hope. All is lost. Nothing good can come. We can go that way. Or there's another sign. It says, clothe yourselves in God's Spirit in prayer. God is waiting for you. This way. Thy kingdom come. We pray it every Sunday. Every Sunday. And we don't stop. Thy kingdom come until every sick person is made well. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come until every person who is hungry is fed. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come until the swords of destruction are beat into the plowshares of peace and safety and abundance. Thy kingdom come. We keep praying it, that God will bring justice and peace and love and mercy on this earth to us and to one another. This parable in the Gospel of Luke, if you had started at the very beginning to read the book, you would have met Anna. Anna was a widow. After 7 years of marriage, her husband dies. And then for the rest of her life until she's 84 years old. Now that's got to be at least 50, 60 years. For 60 years, we find Anna in the temple. 60 years. And Luke says of her that night and day with fasting, she never stops praying because God promised a Messiah. And Anna believed in God's promise. If God promised, it will happen. And for 60 years, she doesn't give up. She doesn't lose heart. Night and day, she prays for the coming of God's blessing. This kind of prayer, of course, is work as well as prayer. We don't separate the two. The widow, she did what she could and then she prayed as well. It's like breathing in and breathing out. We do both. And we believe that God's promise will come true. I love the story about Mother Teresa. She died a few years ago. Almost everyone knows who she was. Marvelous, marvelous saint. I heard her speak one time and she walked right past me, smiled at me. Oh, boy, did I feel a blessing. Mother Teresa smiled at me. It was a great moment in my life. It's said of her that she would sometimes go to donors and ask for financial help. Often she got it pretty quickly because she was Mother Teresa. But not always. Sometimes she went to someone like, you know, like the judge here who had a cold heart. And she would make her plea and ask for a gift. And he would say, I'm sorry, but I'm all given out. I'm giving everything that I'm going to give to you. I can't give to you. And it's said of Mother Teresa that she would then say, let us pray. And he would bow his head, she would bow her head, and she would give a prayer. And as soon as the prayer was over, she would ask again for the money. And when he said no, she would say, let us pray. And she would pray a second time. Until finally, she would wear him out. And he would start looking for his fountain pen. And his checkbook. Never lose heart. Never give up. Never say enough until God in your life shows up. Now, it probably won't be like you want it. Now, we have this idea when God shows up, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Not necessarily. God shows up with surprises and in ways that we would never imagine or maybe never understand. And when God shows up, God doesn't give the help we need in a bundle and say, here's all the help you need for the next year or the next month or the next week. God rarely will do that. But God does. God shows up and gives us just enough of what we need for today. Just for today. But tomorrow, God will be there again, offering the gift, the strength, the help of those who cry night and day for his love and mercy. I have more that I was going to say, but you know what? I don't want to wear you out. I don't want to wear you out. But I want you to go home today with a promise in your heart that you won't let go of. God has promised. How much more is God wanting to offer and to give? How much more? As we open our lives to the miracle, it will happen. God has promised. How long? Not long. Let us pray. God, thank you for your promises that we are your children. We are created by you and loved by you. We are the apple of your eye. We are persons for whom Christ died. And you love each of us and all of us with a magnificent and eternal love and grace. So today, open us again. Open us to the miracle and the wonder and the beauty of your promises of grace and love that are ours as we open ourselves in prayer and love to you and to one another. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a great hymn, and how true. Let us join together as we sing. Now, my friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And the blessing of a bountiful God, the blessing of a liberating Son, the blessing of a nurturing Spirit will be your strength and your joy. Amen.